And I think we are live. So good afternoon, everybody. It is Angie Atkinson, and I'm here with the lovely and talented Lise Colucci.
Hi.
Lise, welcome back.
Thank you.
My pleasure. Happy to have you. And today we're going to talk about narcissistic fleas, what that means, how we get them. Let me just mute myself. How we get the fleas, what the fleas are, and all that good stuff. So before we start that, we are going to really quickly do a little bit of housekeeping, as they say. We do this stream every Tuesday. Usually Dana Morningstar is on the stream. She hasn't been available lately. We're hoping she might be back. But until then, Lise will hopefully be here with me as often as possible. And when Dana, oops, when slash if Dana comes back, we'll add a second stream on Fridays where it will be Lise and I. Lise is one of my partners at queenbeing.com. She is the creator of and leader of the groups program. She does amazing group coaching there. She's also a one-on-one coach and a narcissistic abuse recovery expert. So let's get rolling. Hello, everybody. And our amazing admin will put all the rest of the information you need to know right there in the chat. So watch for that. Let's get going. So, Lise, narcissistic fleas, what
Hi.
are they?
What are they? They are characteristics and traits you pick up from being with a narcissist, even short term, usually long term, and especially growing up. So, but or long term marriages. You pick up fleas because you're treated a certain way for a certain amount of time, and that becomes your coping mechanism style, your argument style, your communication style, and then you use and then the fleas are when you do the same thing that narcissists do to other people, but you're not a narcissist.
So it's kind of like when you spend time around any person, you pick up things. Like if you, I spent a whole like part of a summer in the South one time and came back talking a little funny. You know what I'm saying? So it's similar but different because in this case, the fleas can be, for example, here's an example. With my ex, he spoke in sort of bullying ways. So instead of, if you, let's say, you took out the trash, but you forgot to replace the trash bag. And then he might say, instead of saying, "Oh, don't forget to replace the trash bag," he might have said, "Oh, you didn't replace the trash bag," So it's kind of a more passive aggressive bullying, maybe more aggressive aggressive in that case, tone. Or maybe you pick up habits of, if it's not a speech pattern or a way of communication, maybe you pick up a habit where you just, if somebody cries, you kind of, "Oh, so gross. I can't stand people who show emotion," or whatever. What are some examples of fleas you can think of, Lise?
Well, that was a good one with the tones, tone of voice, things like impatience with people. It's you. It's the stuff you see in the devaluing often. We don't. It's you find yourself actually devaluing people, and you don't mean to, because when you stop and think about it, you think, "Whoa, why did I do that?" Or, "Wow, I really need to be nicer to my friend." Or, you catch it usually. But it's stuff you see in the devaluing. So, or even gaslighting. I didn't do that. Like inability to accept responsibility for things, because you're so used to being told you're wrong and gaslit that it's almost hard then to accept when you are wrong, if that makes sense. And
That's right.
you need to change things.
And a lot of people who end up picking up some of these fleas, I see them come and people will say, "Well, I think I'm a narcissist because I'm doing this." And right. And that's when we talk about fleas, because then we say, well, first of all, a narcissist generally doesn't acknowledge things like that they're doing anything wrong. And secondly, if you can acknowledge it, you could possibly change it. And I think that's what it comes down to. And I think for me personally, it's been about, I mean, because let's think of another thing. So growing up with a narcissist, right? Like I have a good flea for you. Let me tell you a flea story. When I moved out into the world after growing up the way I did, I watched my mother run the show growing up. I mean, run the show. We have a cat on the desk again. I'm sorry for the shaking of that. Anyway, and
Well, clearly you're talking to her when you're just sitting there in a room by yourself talking, or him, whatever.
Oh, the cat. Yeah, he's for sure thinking.
It's all him.
Anyway,
Anyway, mom.
Yeah. but anyway, so in this situation, I moved out into the world and I watched my mother run the show. I watched her, you know, be the boss in her marriage, right? Mm-hmm. And I watched everyone in our household revolve around her. So what did I think was going to happen when I moved out into the world? I learned the hard way that marriage didn't work the way that their marriage worked. And not that I'm saying I was in a good first marriage, because I was not, but there was this, for example, when it came to decorating the house, I could not believe that my ex-husband thought he had any right to have anything to do with the decoration of the house. I was offended. That, like, what do you mean? Dudes don't care about the house. Women do the house. You know what I mean? Little things like that. And then bigger things too, you know? So it's just a matter of, you know, releasing those toxic habits, recognizing that just because you watched your mother or your father or whatever behave a certain way doesn't mean that's how you're supposed to behave. Mm-hmm. But like Lisa mentioned, like you mentioned, Lisa, with the, you know, even in romantic relationships, you pick up habits, you pick up tones, you pick up ways of dealing with things, people, things like that, you know? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Can you think of any other points that we need to make about fleas?
I'm sure there are tons and I'm not,
right.
I think what I see a lot with is, you know, the deflecting of blame, the gaslighting, the, I mean, like I always say, everybody gaslights once in a while. It happens, but it's the habitual doing. So when, like, why can't you just accept that you need to make a change? And you see it in relationships and then you don't know who the toxic one is, or you, you know, or nobody's toxic and somebody's just behaving with the fleas. What's really interesting is when you have two survivors and they're both partners and they both have fleas. And then you've got, yeah, it's hard to just, yeah, pull it apart. And anyway, fleas. I'm going to think of other examples off the top of my head.
Well, let me throw in here really quick what you mentioned about the two partners. You know, the thing about that in that situation or any situation is that in order to sort of eradicate the fleas, you have to be very self-aware. And you have to be very willing to acknowledge that this is going on. Oh my gosh, this is a bad habit I've picked up. I need to deal with it. And it sometimes might be hard to let go of some of those things, you know, I mean, on the flip side, and I don't even know if you would call this a flea, but one of the things that I have struggled with consistently is like here's an example. So I'm still to this day, I'm used to not really talking about certain things, like if I'm having an issue or something, I don't usually talk about it with most people. And so when somebody does seem genuinely interested in what I have to talk about, I very often just, oh, I'm cool. It's fine. Don't worry about it. And that seems funny because what I do for a living, but
yeah, well,
you know, Lisa knows she's been that person for me a few times. Who's been like, no, really, what's going on? and I'm grateful, you know, but I feel strange to me because I don't really know how.
Right.
I mean, I know how to talk about myself, but I guess habit, it's not really a flea per se, but it's more of like an after effect, I guess.
I don't know, probably could classify somewhere as a flea. I mean, because then you're pushing friends away.
True.
So, that's true. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's usually things that affect other people is what these fleas are.
Right.
And the thing is, when you're an empathic person, a person that has any care about other people, when you do a flea, so to speak, when you say you do the trash bag incident, I do this. This is my big one, is I'm pretty nice most of the time. I mean, I'm pretty chill, pretty okay. But when I get in a mood and I'm intolerant of things, oh my gosh, I'm not nice. And it's like, it's not mean, but it's like,
direct.
Why'd you leave the trash can here? It's very devaluing. And it's not reasonable to be that way. Then I catch it. And then the problem when you're an empathic person, if you're a narcissist, you're like, whatever, they're stupid. I'm right. Why can't they do that? Not when you're thinking, oh my gosh, I'm such a horrible person. I just talk to people. You start to beat yourself up, which is also kind of another flea, right?
Yeah, it is, right? It's interesting. So I guess the point that we're making then is that fleas don't have to just be habits you picked up that the narcissist has. They can also be habits that you created in order to protect yourself from the narcissist on some level. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's anything that the situation of being with them created.
Yes.
Whether it be them doing it to you or your coping skills because of how you dealt with things when you were with them.
Yes.
Or growing up with them. Yeah.
Exactly. And as Lillian Marie says in the chat, she said, it only comes out when I'm upset, I think. Mm-hmm. And I think, oh, and she says, like, when I'm trying to get my point across. That's absolutely, yeah. I find myself getting, still today, frustrated with someone who, I literally don't understand. I'm very good at communication most of the time. And so when I have someone who pretends to not understand me or who genuinely doesn't understand me for some reason, I feel triggered. Because one of the things that every narcissist in my life has played that game with me, where they've been like, oh, what? I don't know what you mean by the sky's blue. What does that mean? Does that mean the sky's purple? I don't, you know what I mean? Like,
right. Especially when you're good at communicating and you know it, you know that there's never a problem except in situations where you have to have conflict or you have to have a discussion that's not easy for the other person. And you're like, wait a minute. But then it's super frustrating. So frustrating.
Incredibly. Yeah.
Triggering.
Mm-hmm. And you know, that's something, I think we talked about triggers a little bit before, but we should maybe talk about that again in the near future, because that's a big important one. Richard Burton says, Lord, I never thought of this, but now I see that I picked up fleas from my narcissist ex. Yeah. Yeah. And oh, this is interesting. Misfit Bassist says, that's what narcissists are trying to do, make more narcissists. And they do. That is powerful. And that is true, because unfortunately, now, to be fair, usually 90%, I don't want to say a percentage, but usually if you are not a narcissist, you remain not a narcissist. Of course, there are situational narcissists or people who develop, they have, what is it called? Acquired situational narcissism. And those people, this is separate from this discussion really. But in general, there's a possibility that any child of a narcissist could become a narcissist. And if they don't, then they become one of us. You know, nobody comes away from a narcissistic parent with like a totally healthy situation. Lillian Marie said she picked some stuff up from her mom as well. Hello, Sadie Lane. Okay, Ellen is here. Hey, Ellen. Okay, Marsh Morgan.
I want to say that real quick, though, that it isn't something we need to beat ourselves up for. It's something to just kind of accept that, oh, okay, that's what happens. And it's something to work on in yourself. Every human being has traits they need to work on.
That's right.
And we can at least track it back to the root cause. So we can say, oh, I don't want to be devaluing. That's my main thing. I don't want to devalue people.
Right.
And to me, that's the most offensive part of the narcissist, is the devaluing.
Right. And I think for me, that is definitely offensive. And I think the other side of it for me personally is empathy. I really struggle to, I don't struggle. I have to be very careful not to over empathize.
Right.
Some people, but I do want to make sure that people feel seen and heard, because I felt invisible and unheard for so many years. And so I know how painful that is. Same thing as devaluing, I guess. I mean,
yeah, it's similar. That's kind of what I mean. Like, it's through the devaluing that I'm not empathizing when I say, why is the trash still sitting here, instead of, hey guys, you forgot the trash.
Right.
It's so much easier and feels better. But then, but my point is, don't beat yourself up. Just work on the traits.
I totally agree.
And totally accept they're going to come out when you're triggered.
Yeah. And if they do, then you work on a coping mechanism. So a way for you to notice it and rein yourself back in.
Yeah.
And then over time, you know, that neuroplastic brain of yours will reroute the neural connections, and you will naturally do the right thing, whatever that is.
Yeah.
In that situation. Marsh Morgan says, living healthy and having success and living happily without him has done more to hurt my dad than any of my failures. That is when you both know you were doing well and he truly was abusive. Now, let me tell you something. That is the truth. If you're talking about revenge on a narcissist, there it is. Living well, being successful, and not letting that person be in your life. I mean, that's the only form of revenge that will ever be revenge, you know, because everything else is going to come back to bite you in the butt.
Well, and it's the only one worth it, because it's the only one that takes your time, which is precious and short, and makes it go towards something positive, which is you.
100%.
Every other form of revenge is spending more time of your life back on that toxic person. That's a waste.
Exactly. I totally agree. Yep. Let's see here. Woo. I just got a little carried away with the chat there. I hate when that happens. Oh, hey, Piper. Okay, let's see. Now I lost my place. Here I go. Okay. So, Hufflemom put all her, thank you, Hufflemom, appreciate you. We have all of these awesome comments here. Okay, I'm just trying to get back to where, there we go. Okay, sorry about that. Okay. Hufflemom said, I forgot who said it, but to understand narcissist fleas, think about being the only hearing person in a house full of deaf people. I said that. Thank you. Uh-huh. Later, if you'd moved and had a hearing roommate, you'd have deaf fleas. Point being, she's right. This is, thank you for reminding me of that. I said that in a video a couple of years ago. That's the point, is when you grow up, like say you grow up with deaf parents, but you can hear, you wouldn't even think about playing loud music in the middle of the night because your parents wouldn't hear it. You wouldn't think about banging pots and pans around, you know, when everybody's sleeping on a Sunday morning because your parents wouldn't hear it. So if you go and you move, you know, move into the dorms or an apartment with a new roommate and they're sleeping, you wouldn't think twice about turning on your TV at full blast and acting crazy. Because you're not used to somebody else being able to hear it. And it's the same, it's a similar thing, you know, because if you grow up in a home where, you know, one parent runs the house, runs the show and does all the beating of all the people or whatever, then you might think that's your job if you're that same sex or whatever. Mm-hmm. That's a funny thing to say, but it's not far from the truth. But I never thought about beating anybody because beating sucks. Moving on. Wait, that was a weird thing to say. Misfed Basis says, self-awareness is the key. If you can see narcissists tracing yourself, you're already ahead of the curve. 100% true.
Yep.
Absolutely. Yes. Hey, Adrian. Let's see. Okay. Adrian says, I always stay in silence. Yeah. And Christine, hey, Chris. Chris says she can relate. Yeah, that's what I did. I was very quiet. And I'm still a little quiet about certain things. But I do talk to a few people now. So that's something.
Yay. Hey,
moving in the right direction. Okay. Yes. Yes. Lori says, or Laura, hey, Laura, said hello to Christine. Okay. Moving on. Yeah. Jack says it's often not worth it to engage in communication. Hufflemom and I had to go to the Viper's Den yesterday. That would be his parents' house, I believe. Mother's house. She employed an exit strategy so I wouldn't linger. Oh, smart. Exit strategies, when you do deal with narcissists, very helpful. Any thoughts on that, Lise?
Exit strategies, always. Always exit strategies and taking break strategies. So go to the bathroom a lot. If you're at a party and you know the narcissist is going to be there, just go to the bathroom. Excuse yourself. Oh, I need to. So what if people think you've got a problem that you need to use the bathroom a lot?
Right.
You do. It's a narcissist at the party.
Hey.
Yeah. And then exit strategies and code words when you're there with someone too.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Very helpful. Yeah. Hufflemom says the difference is that most of the fleas you pick up from a narcissist are things you learn to do in order to survive.
Yep.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And that's what I was mentioning earlier, that they are survival tactics often. And like, for example, me with the not talking about myself thing, you know, eventually when somebody tells you enough times that you're boring or that you don't have anything of value to say, or they just blow off whatever you say, even when you speak from the bottom of your heart, you stop talking about yourself. And sometimes you don't even remember how to talk about yourself. I didn't for a long time, like I said.
Well, what's interesting about fleas that I've noticed is when you are suddenly find yourself in a healthy relationship, or you have healthy friendships, or you do have someone to talk to and you're get close, those fleas, because of the vulnerability that you're opening up to someone, are all of a sudden more frequent. But sometimes. Does that make sense? Yeah, because you're safe. And you're safe and you're not used to it being safe. And so find a person and you're in a good, healthy relationship, and then there's conflict. You might start as a survivor having all these fleas because you're used to the attack coming and you're just defensively, you become defensive,
mm-hmm.
which is not healthy for you, for the relationship, but you know, like you said, observe and change.
Yeah. And you can become, I think hyper-vigilant in some ways too.
Depending. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's overwhelming. overwhelming, and you don't feel safe, right? Mm-hmm. When you are safe.
When you are safe. Yeah, yeah. It takes a lot. It takes a while to reprogram that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I think the first step to doing that is to recognizing that, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. And to saying, okay, wait a minute, this is what's, I always find that that's why with the duo method, you know, discover, understand, overcome. Because for me, that's been not just with narcissistic abuse, but like every issue that I've overcome in my whole life. First, I had to recognize it. Then I had to figure out how to solve it. And then I had to solve it. You know what I mean? So it's basic and simple, but it certainly works. let's see. Misfit Basis says, ask yourself, is this me or is this me absorbing from Narky? He spelled it funny. I'm sorry. That's good. I like that. He or she, I don't know if you're he or she, Misfit Basis. So I apologize if I'm misgendering it. But yeah, Narky, N-A-R-K-Y. It was spelled. I thought that was funny. Okay. Adrian says, I'm always in silence in that house with the narcissist mother and the supply. Of course. I mean, I think that's one of those survival.
When you're with them, it's not fleas. When you're with a narcissist, you're in reaction. You're in
survival mode.
Survival, exactly. So it's when you're outside of it and healthy or even just out in life situation.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good point to make. Thank you. Let's see. Oh, Jack Lumen says, I don't mind admitting my narcissist fleas tend to drive you nuts to his wife, Hufflemom. I had a conversation with the two of them once and we discussed some of that stuff, and I'm not going to go into details. I'm not tell all their business, but he is very aware. And so is she. Lillian says, true. Lovely Ash, hello, says, I'm struggling big time with flashbacks sending me into a panic. I didn't even know I was holding on to this. You know, that is interesting. That's not totally flea related, but it kind of is. Let's talk about it. Lise, have you experienced or dealt with clients who've experienced flashbacks?
Flashbacks and then
going into a panic as a result. I have personally.
Yes, absolutely. I think it's when you learn to not react to the panic. Right. So yes, it happens. Yes, you had a trigger. Yes, you had a flashback. Yes, you're in it. Stop reacting at that point to the fact that you're in it. That's to me, number one step is.
That's when a pattern
interrupt. Yeah, pattern interrupt. Yeah, go ahead.
I was just going to say that's when a pattern interrupt can be helpful, when you can do something to change, you know, to shift out of the trigger.
Right.
And yeah, so you could, you know, take a shower, brush your teeth, brush your hair, go for a walk, just move into a different room, turn on some music. So many different things we did. Was it last week or the week before we talked pattern interrupt? 2 weeks ago, we talked pattern interrupts.
2 weeks ago, I think. Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. Uh-huh. Any other thoughts on that? The triggers and the...
There's a lot with triggers. I think we should talk, like you said, I think we should talk about triggers soon.
Okay. So maybe next week we'll go into more detail about triggers. But for now, lovely Ash, try, you know, recognizing when you are experiencing a flashback and you're being...
Whoa. Hello, kitty.
Yeah. That guy. Am I back? Okay.
You're here.
You see my TV over there? Okay.
Anyway. Do something really distracting so that you forget you're in the flashback. No, not making
speaking of which. Awful.
Yeah. It is awful. It's horrible. It feels terrible. So it's like, recognize it. Self-care the heck out of yourself when you're in those moments, and really, really try not to freak out about the fact that you're panicking.
Yes.
Because that only makes the panic worse. I have a whole like talk about how to help yourself calm down, but it's really long. So next week.
So next week, let's remember that we're going to talk about that, because I think that's important. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Did we finish that? Because I got distracted.
I think so. Yeah.
Okay. Ellen says, I do the same thing and I have to self-check if I'm in a mood. Halt. And she likes to do the self-check of halt, which is hungry, angry, lonely and tired. She wrote money, but I'm guessing that was autocorrect.
Yeah.
Instead of lonely. Okay. Yeah, she did. She corrected herself right there. Okay, we're on the same page, girl.
Although money makes you grumpy too. So yeah.
Say that again.
So money can make you grumpy too. So.
Oh my gosh. It really can.
Is that me or are you glitching?
Am I glitching?
I don't know if it's my end or if someone in chat lets her know if it's me or her.
Yeah, we don't know if it's us or
nothing we can do about it.
Yeah. All right. I think it's me. It looks like it's me. Maybe it's because my cat just, wait, let me check and see if my connection's good.
Yeah, he might have pumped you.
Freaking cats. Okay. Yep, it was me. Is it still happening?
Yeah. It's like flashing.
Goodness. What do I do?
Is it the connection?
I checked the connection. It looks okay. Let me just double check this one. I think it's okay. Still happening?
A little bit.
Get off the table.
I'll fix it. I'll fix it for you, Angie.
Is it better now?
Yeah.
Alrighty.
We love live.
Love, love, love it. Hey, this is what you're having. Okay.
It's the part of the fun.
Yes. Okay. Lillian Marie says it's because we want to be heard. In many cases, that's true. That we speaking of wanting to be heard. This guy, I'm going to have to start locking him in a different room. I do streams. This is ridiculous. Can you hear him yelling back there? Okay. She's right. It's because we want to be heard in many cases. That was my thing too, is I wasn't heard for so long, you know? So it's, yeah. Any thoughts on that before we move on to the next comment?
Because we want to be heard. No,
yeah, that's why we have fleas sometimes.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. Lovely Ash says, I'm 2 weeks out of an 11-year relationship. Oh, honey, I feel you. This is the hard part. You know, this is the hard part, but it's going to get a little better each day. And it, I mean, fractionally better each day. The more you focus with intention toward yourself and less toward the narcissist. Mm-hmm. I mean, you may need to understand the psychology of why the narcissist did what they did. You may need to understand a lot of things like that, but you certainly cannot, you have to grieve, you have to go through the whole process, but you also must focus on yourself during this time. It's really important, as much as you can stand to do. But give yourself time to grieve if you need to. I like to put an end date on the grief if I can. This early out of a relationship, it's rough, right? But I mean, maybe give yourself 2 weeks. I'm just going to throw this out as a random number. Give yourself 2 weeks to just, you know, cry and eat ice cream and throw stuff or whatever your thing is, you know, that whatever you need to do to get through it, write in your journal, watch sad movies, whatever. And then at the end of that time, tell yourself, okay, I'm going to stand up on, you know, this day. And when I wake up on this day, I'm done. And I'm going to start living again. Now that doesn't mean you can't be sad after that. It just means that you have put it, you know, drawn a line in the sand and you've said, I'm going to let myself be sad until this moment. And then I'm going to try to be better. Mm-hmm. Right. And even if you're not totally thrilled the next day, which you won't be, it's a first step. And then you're going to just keep going one foot in front of the other until one day you're going to wake up, not even going to think about them. You're just going to be like, wow, I didn't even think about them all day yesterday. And then you're going to know that you're getting better. It's a process. Lise, do you have any thoughts for Lillian? Lovely Ash. Sorry.
Lovely Ash. Yeah. What you said, and it's, the other side of that is don't put a timeline on your healing. In other words, don't expect like all of that. Yes. And also let go of a timeline. It's 6 months and I shouldn't be thinking about that anymore. Well, remember trauma bonds take what they take. They take the time they take and everybody's different. It's a super active healing. This isn't something time heals all wounds about. It does take sometimes understanding, watching the videos, getting the awareness, all of that stuff, as well as figuring out what you need, learning how to do self-care again, learning who you are again after 11 years. And all of that takes the time it takes. So don't beat yourself up if on 2 weeks you feel like you're not, like what Angie said, is like perfect. And then the other side of it is just like, okay.
Right.
It still feels bad. And these are the baby steps Angie was talking about. These aren't.
Yes. And I want to apologize. I want to thank you.
No, no apologies. I'm just adding on top of it.
No, you're right. I want to clarify just because you did clarify. What I'm talking about is that part where you feel like you're drowning.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Part where you just wake. You got to get up out of the water.
Yeah. Right. At some point you got to get your nose up there above the top. Exactly. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
When somebody likened it somebody likened it to me when they were explaining it to chronic illness, chronic pain, when you're in chronic pain and you're trying to recover from an injury and you're a person that does not recover quickly from an injury, it may take you 2 years to get over a sprained ankle, say, and you may not be able to walk for 6 months and you're going, I'm never going to get better. I'm never going to get better, but you're doing the work. You're going to physical therapy. You're doing blah, blah, blah. You're doing all the work. And then a year later, you're walking 6 miles and you don't know how you got there.
Right.
Kind of how the healing is.
Right. Right.
It's not like, bam, you wake up and feel better.
That's right. And when I'm talking about the 2 weeks thing, I want to clarify, this is a period of sort of like, almost like condensing your grief a little bit. So like literally, if you can take the time off work, and maybe it's 3 weeks or a month or one
like immersing year. In it. Is that what you mean? Like, like immersing in your grief?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Give yourself, because the fact, what I did wrong and what I try to help my clients do right is at the beginning, I started off with, I'm fine. I cried for a minute, but then I was told by someone in my life, another narcissist, these are the choices you have made. Get over yourself. It's time to move forward. The very same day I left. Okay. So the very same day I left my ex-husband. So then when I just swallowed it and I thought, okay, I'm just going to live. This is it. These are the choices I have made. And so I started to just try to pretend like everything was okay. It was not okay. It was not okay. Mm-hmm. And I eventually got on Prozac for 6 months and it did help me to get over the hump, but it did not solve the problems.
Right.
And so it wasn't until several years later that I actually worked through the grief, because I wasn't allowed to do it when it happened. So what I do with my clients is I try to help them understand you have to go through that part,
yep.
That part where you cry and throw things and break things or whatever you do, you know, and sometimes you need to trigger yourself to cry by watching sad movies or whatever, but crying there's therapeutic value, but also there's more than that, but you got to get all that stuff out before you can really start to heal. That's my point.
Mm-hmm, you do.
So I wasn't saying you're going to be better in 2 weeks. I'm saying, give yourself a period of time. If you can even, like I said, if you can take off work for a while,
yeah,
you know, a week or two or whatever, even a weekend can help.
Mm-hmm.
To just put it, you know, take the time for yourself to let the stuff come out, to let this stuff go through, and mm-hmm. then start to heal. You see what I'm saying?
Totally. And you won't get stuck there. You won't get stuck not being able to get out of bed.
Exactly.
You'll eventually actually get bored of it and you will get up.
And then, yeah. Right. And then mm-hmm. you don't have to go, you know, in 3 years or 6 years down the road and try to figure that stuff out later.
Right. Yeah. I think we're so strong. People feel really weak when they are discarded or when they finally leave. They may feel strong if they leave, but especially when they're discarded, they feel really weak, but they're actually incredibly strong because they have spent however many years of their life dealing with something incredibly difficult.
Right.
And you hold on to that strength and you pick yourself up and you just keep plugging through and going, and you don't take the time to do what Angie's talking about, and it can prolong things. Yeah.
Right. Now I have a super chat here from Candy Brought It Up. Thank you, Candy Brought It. What a cool name. Candy Brought It Up. Candy says, the elders used to say, when you lay down with the dogs, you pick up fleas. Ain't that the truth?
Yep.
Ain't that the truth? That's, and that's exactly probably where the term comes from.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Okay. Did you have anything else to say about that before we move on to the next thing?
No.
No. Okay.
No. Sorry. No.
Oh, did you? I don't know.
No, I don't. I'm good.
Okay. Sorry. I'm not hearing well today. Helpful Mom says, I admit similarly that I have some fleas from my childhood when my dad was abusive. Exactly. We all probably have some fleas here and there, and we, you know, it's just a matter of trying to work through them and
mm-hmm.
and not, you know, like we're talking about. Okay. Recognizing them is important. Misfit Bassist says, yes, halt. I forgot about that one. Thanks for the reminder, which is the check yourself. Are you hungry? Are you angry? Are you lonely? Are you tired? Yeah. Yes. LNC agrees. Melissa says, congratulations to lovely Ash for getting out of the relationship. Misfit Bassist says, do a personal inventory, honest, thorough, and brutal. And I agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
I actually am working on something like that right now in my own life, a personal inventory, because it's always good to do it every now
and then. Just
You know, it's important. And I also should do a clothing inventory, but that's another day. Okay. Sorry. Jack Lumen says, emotional flashbacks are the pit. Feel free to jump in anytime here, at least if you have anything to say about whatever I'm reading off.
Okay.
And our Misfit Basis says, narcissists cannot take personal inventory. And that's the truth.
Mm-hmm.
They definitely can't. Any thoughts on that?
They can't take accountability. So why would they?
Right. They don't.
No.
They're not self-aware.
They may appear self-aware in some cases, but they are not self-aware.
No,
they are aware of their actions. That's not self-awareness. Self-awareness is a reflection of how it affects other people. It requires empathy.
Yes, that's right. That's right. And because their perception is skewed, you know, they can twist it and make it sound like they're not the problem. And If you don't know them, you won't know. And that's why flying monkeys exist.
Yeah.
Right? Piper says, I just push people away and can't because I can't get hurt that way. That's a thing. A lot of us have done that.
Well, a lot of us become very like avoidant attached because of, or we are anxious attached if we talk about attachment styles, but it's like an avoidant anxious because of all the stuff we've been through. And it's like, of course we push people away.
Yeah.
That's something to work on. It's hard. It's not easy.
Yeah, we push them away, or alternatively, we hold on so tightly that our fingers bleed.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, proverbially speaking. Yeah. Or worse, we alternate that push and pull. It's bad. Don't do that. That's a flea. Yeah. Melissa says, I did the same thing. Jack Lumen says, I had to remember not to get too down on myself during a fourth step inventory. I needed to count successes and recovers as well.
Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah. That's an important point you make there, because we do need to remember that, you know, we've been through it. And so when you take the time to focus only on what you're doing wrong, well, you're going to do more stuff wrong, in my opinion.
You're going to feel bad about it too. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But if you also focus on your successes and the thing, right? I mean, yeah.
Yeah. You got to see yourself as a whole person, not just the mistakes you're making.
Exactly. That is a very valid point you're making there. Let's see here. Yep. Now I just lost my place in chat. It's fine. We're going to get right back there. It's fine. Okay. Okay. Woo. Sorry, guys. I do this at least once a week, don't I? Okay.
It's never easy scrolling through chat. It's a
never easy.
Easy. It's a tedious thing. Yeah.
Right. Well, what happens is every now and then it'll just jump down.
Oh, I know. Yeah. I just give up half the time and say, repeat it, please, because I've lost chat. I'm so sorry.
Yes, I've done that too. all right. Let's see here. LNC. Oh, yeah. We did that one. Okay. Oh. Lily and Marie makes a valid point. Wait, two valid points. First from LNC, she says, narcissists don't take personal inventory. They wait for us to do that and fix it without letting them know. That's real. You know, they take your inventory, don't they? And they twist it all around and make it uglier than it really is. Mm-hmm. And then you try to fix yourself and you end up becoming a zombie or whatever, but.
Well, they throw their, project their stuff onto your inventory as well. So they give
indeed.
You
a pack. Yeah. And then of course you can't possibly. Right. Okay. Sorry. I'm not laughing about that. I'm just remembering some bad things in my own past. Lillian's point though, don't tell them when you're happy. Mm-hmm. That's true. Because if they think you're happy, they might just want to make you unhappy. They definitely will, unless it's regarding their happiness directly. Any thoughts on that?
Never ever dangle anything precious, good, or happy in front of them. Because they will, they'll run the other direction, destroy it.
Yeah, no doubt. Misfit Bassist says, Jack agrees that they'll burst your happy bubble.
They can even ruin puppies. That's what somebody said to me. They can even ruin puppies.
Oh, and they can, and everything else too. Yeah. Okay. I know it's ridiculous. Oh, I like this, Misfit. Inventory is not about self-flagellation. Mm-hmm. Excuse me if I said the word wrong.
Got it.
It's about self-improvement, and that's the truth.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
That's the truth.
The whole point. It's not, it's exact. Yeah.
That's inventory, right? Take the good and the bad, put it all in a box and look at it or whatever. Okay. It's a whole process I've found. And I'm doing like an official inventory on myself right now. And I'm trying to figure out, cause you know, at some point in your life you go, okay, well I'm surviving and I'm thriving and I'm doing well, but what can I do better? That's right. I'm pretty much there right now, mostly. Okay. Hufflemom says you shouldn't have to tell them that you're happy. Your actions should show that, of course. But the problem tends to be that, am I glitching again? The problem, sorry. The problem tends to, can you hear me still?
I can hear you fine. It just,
okay.
Yeah.
The problem with, you know, them being able to look at you and know that you're happy is once again, that they would of course want to take that away from you in any way that they could or cause drama. You know, okay. Any thoughts on that?
No, I was going to say, although the other point is, as long if you can become indifferent to caring what that, like say they are low contact, way on the peripheral of your life, and you maybe have to see them a couple times a year, max, nothing personal. If they see that you're happy and, or they, or you tell them that you're happy or whatever, who, or they hear about it, who cares? When you can get, you know, that's that what you came the very beginning when you said thriving and doing well in your life is the best payback. So full circle to the beginning, but I can't hear you at all.
Yeah, no, because I was muted. Sorry about that.
I'm like, I see her lips moving. What is happening?
Oh, no. Okay. All right. Thank you. Okay. Yes, I'm agreeing with what you were saying.
Okay.
yeah. Oh, Jacqueline says, I learned that the hard way, and Helpful Mom has to do got done lists as well as to-do lists. Oh, interesting. Yeah,
that's what I do too. A lot of got done, to done lists, I call them. To done lists.
I like that. I never thought of it.
Already did it. Yeah.
Check.
Well, yeah, because then you realize how much you actually do in a day. And yeah. And when you look at your to-do list and you see how many things you didn't get done on it, you can reflect on, well, oh my gosh, my day was packed. No wonder I didn't get it done. And, you know, there's no reason to be angry with yourself all the time. So
that's right. That's right. Let's see. Mia's, oh wait. Okay. Misfit Basis says always room for personal growth and improvement. Totally agree. Mia says, I'm dealing with one now as a narcissist. It's so hard to get away. I absolutely feel you. I think everyone in this space, including Lisa and myself included, we get it. It's hard to get away. Mm-hmm. Boy, I'm really glitching out now, huh?
Yeah, like jumping all over, Angie. Too
pretty annoying. You know, maybe I'll turn my camera off and I'll just be voice for a minute. And that way
it comes back. Yeah.
Yeah. That way it'll just, there we go.
What a cutie. Look at her.
Oh, see, I look better in that picture anyway.
No, you look cute anyway. Just I like
that. Right. All right, let's see here.
Ooh, this is weird.
What? Oh, now you're on there by yourself.
I'm on here by myself.
Hey, that's
hi,
okay.
Hi, everybody. I'm on Angie's channel by myself.
I'm just a disembodied voice. What's
over
that?
There is the voice of Angie.
Oh, that's so funny. Okay. I'll have to... Boy, these cats are acting crazy today. Quit. It's like they know I'm live.
Oh, yeah. That's, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. I wonder what this deal is with this camera. Okay.
I had to stop a live stream because of dogs the other day and start over.
You know, pets are crazy. Okay.
Yeah. Well, to be fair, there's people like working outside the house right now. So, mm-hmm. You know, but yeah.
Well, I have no excuse except for these cats are jerks, but you know, I'm pretty sure cats are narcissists. So they're just cuter than most of them, I guess. I don't know. Okay. Okay. Helpful Mom says you'd also probably sign everything if you were particularly emotional. I don't know if that means. I'm guessing, does she mean sign language? Okay. I don't know. Oh, thank you guys for hitting the like button. I appreciate that. Everybody's reminding each other in the chat. I really appreciate you guys. Let's see here. Mystique says, oh, Mystique had a visit. Okay, we're going to let that be in the chat because we don't have the whole... Okay, JD says, I just joined now. I was just wondering what kind of things will a malignant narcissist do during an argument?
Ooh.
Oh my, you wanna start us off?
What will a malignant narcissist do? Well, let's understand a malignant narcissist real quick. They are narcissistic, NPD classification narcissistic, okay? They are sadistic. They enjoy the pain they inflict.
Mm-hmm.
They get off on it. They are generally sociopathic as well, meaning that they don't follow the rules, the social rules of everybody else, and are above the law, are, oh my gosh, I don't have my list of sociopathic behavior, but there's those three together is what makes what they call a malignant narcissist. And so the kind of things they might do in an argument, deliberately rally you up so that you are so frustrated, you are ready to go into a state of reactive abuse, and then sit there with a smug smirk on their face while they watch you act crazy.
Mm.
They might, they like to punish. They're very punitive. They, what else? I can't see you, so I don't know if you're ready.
I know. Can you hear me okay though?
Yeah, I can hear you good. What else might they do? I'm trying to think. I've been with one. So what do they do in an argument? Stonewall, silent treatment. But it's a little bit different than a huffing off silent treatment. If they stand there in your face and they're silent. And you can't leave. You're punished. Mm-hmm. You're punished. You're sitting. You're like a child sitting in the corner being punished. Get you to be reactive. What else? They might.
Oh.
They have grandiose ideals about their own, who they are. So they'll project onto you, and then they'll belittle you. Anything else?
Oh, lots of things.
Things I know, like trying to
pretend
remember.
They don't understand you. Am I glitching again, by the way?
No, you're good.
Okay. Let's see, what else will they do? I mean, you said so many things. I'm trying to remember. I think that's a good start.
Is that good? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Those are some things that are a little above what a narcissist does. I was just trying to think of like, what's the extra, you know, the extra there.
Yeah. I've seen so many different things. So a lot of, bullying language, they talk over you, or they, like you said, belittle, criticize everything that you say, do, think, or feel. They pull out things from, you know, the year you were born that you did wrong. And if you bring up something from 15 minutes ago, that's the past. Mm-hmm. a lot of, what's the word? What's it called? I'm trying to think of the word when somebody does something that they say, it's just slipping my mind. It's a very common word. You know what I'm talking about, right? Doesn't matter. It's when, so, you know, hypocritical.
Hypocritical. There we go. Yeah.
Hypocritical behavior. Mm-hmm. Sorry, I had a moment. I got this. Okay. But really quickly before it's distracting me. Ellen, thank you so much. Ellen just sent a super chat, said just sending some love. I appreciate you, Ellen, very much. Thank you. I wanted to say that before I forgot.
That was good.
Okay. All right. Since we are low on, we have like about 2 minutes left. We're just going to try to jump into the next one more question, and then we'll wrap up because we both have calls at the top of the hour. I like this. Misfit says, you really can feel your energy return when you cut them off. They're vampires. It is very similar to that. Yes. And even sometimes, like if you say you haven't seen them for a while, then you have a phone call with them, or you don't talk to them for a few, you know, one of the ways you can really tell you're in a bad relationship is if your partner goes on a trip or, you know, is away for a few days and you're not with them. And then all of a sudden you feel relieved and happier than usual.
Yeah.
Or it's a funny thing, but I mean, that happened to me. I all of a sudden could breathe again. And I was like, wait, this is weird, huh? Because I would think I would miss the partner, right?
Mm-hmm.
But no.
No.
Thoughts on, I don't know. Okay. Let's see. All right. A couple more comments and then we're going to wrap up. So Hufflemom says, I lost track of who I was. I'm now having to figure out who I am now. Mm-hmm. And this is really important because a lot of times we think, I want to be the person I used to be before I met them or whatever, but we can't almost ever be that person again because life has happened since then. And whether the life was good or bad, time has passed and your circumstances have changed and you have changed. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't mean that you cannot be a better version of who you once were, mm-hmm. you know, a more evolved, you know, smarter, less vulnerable version. I mean vulnerable to people like narcissists, not in general. Okay, one more super chat from Belle. Belle, thank you. She didn't even put a question. She just sent a little super chat. We appreciate you, Belle, so much. Thank you. Thank you. Yes, Belle of Amherst, you know her.
Mm-hmm. Belle.
Yeah, it's good to see you here again. Okay, let's see. Yeah, anyway, losing track of who you were. That was what I wanted to point out. Any thoughts on that before we...
Yeah, I was going to say the same thing. Exactly. You can't be who you were. Don't try to be who you were. Be who you will become.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It
includes the scars. It includes the pain.
Yes.
But that doesn't mean you like go around, you know, living the pain. It means
right. You
acknowledge it's there and you actually get better.
It's like that Japanese art of, what is it called? Kintsugi, I think. Kintsugi. It's where they put the gold in the cracks on the vases and the pottery and stuff, because it you know, it makes it a new thing. It's mm-hmm. still beautiful. It's just beautiful in a new way. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And it was beautiful before, and now it's beautiful in a new way because it has these beautiful gold, you know, streams or whatever. Have you seen this?
I have. Yes.
Pretty
I
can't cool. remember
the name. The name is going to never
it's be. It's like, right. It's like something like Kintsugi or Kintsu. I don't know. I'm probably pronouncing it wrong, but I've seen it recently. yeah, I would love to continue, guys. There are so many things. Michelle's question. Michelle, if you go to queenbeing.com and you click on the quizzes page, you can take a quiz. She says, am I the abuser or is he? I don't feel safe. Mm-hmm. Go on. I'm going to guess that it's probably not you since you're saying what you're saying, but just in case, go over to that quizzes page on queenbeing.com and try a couple of those quizzes. There's one to find out if you're a narcissist. There's one to find out if you're dealing with narcissistic abuse in a toxic relationship and so on. So check that out. Okay. We both have to wrap up, guys. We are so happy. Thank you, Melissa and everybody. Jacqueline, everybody. And we will be back here next Tuesday, if not sooner, for another live stream. If you have questions, comments, concerns, things you want to talk about, you can leave them in the chat here, leave them in the comment section below. I think Jack is collecting topics people need to hear about for us. So Jack Lumen, so make sure you can tag him if you are leaving this in the chat here, and he'll help us hold on to those. So Lise, anything else before we wrap up for today?
I'll be live streaming again, either later today or tomorrow, depending on my time. I haven't looked at my calendar yet. But am I talking about projecting blame, how they project blame? And
okay. And that's going to be on her channel.
Yeah. And she'll put it
in
the comments.
She'll put it in the chat, and it's, I'll also put it here on our end screen and in our description below. Mm-hmm. And this is, Lise Colucci Narcissistic Abuse Recovery Channel here on YouTube. All right. Thank you everyone for the super chats, for the, hey, Jack Goodings. I really, okay, we got to go. All right. Help the mom. We'll do her thing in the chat. We appreciate you all so much, and we will see you soon. Hugs and love to each and every one of you. Bye. Remember, you're not alone.
Yeah.
All right, Lise. See you soon.
See you.